very humbled and proud to present a project like 1045 Olive. So Crescent Heights was built on a belief that we are long-term value investors of any market that we're in. We focus that belief in some of the greatest cities in America, from Boston to Seattle, Chicago to San Francisco, but I like to think we're Dodgers fans at heart. And the basic principles really are built on twofold. We're built on, one, that great design is how you lead. Design that embraces and enhances the neighborhood, the aesthetic, paying homage to their local heritage. And two, we believe that people will thrive in walkable urban communities that are adjacent to transit and jobs. And 1045 Olive Project is exactly that. 794 homes in the heart of the downtown LA Renaissance, 12,500 square feet of retail adjacent to a brand new public plaza. And a truly unique tower design that'll allow the founder of ODA, our design architect, to explore and show you guys shortly. Finally, the most important feature of the project is it's an environmental leadership development project. So it'll be the first certified by the state in downtown LA. I think maybe one of the first to be built, hopefully, in the city of Los Angeles. And with that, we are 100% carbon neutral. We have a commitment to prevailing wage labor. And I think we have some members of the trade here, so we, and they'll know, they can attest that it will be a fully union job. And with that, I'd like to turn it over to our lead counsel, Ryan Lederman. Thank you.
Great, thank you very much. My name is Ryan Lederman from the law firm Holland & Knight, 400 South Hope Street. I do want to thank staff, especially Melena, for the hard work going into this project over the past 3.5, almost 4 years. I believe, Melena, you're the third planner on this project, but you were stuck with having to do probably the most amount of work on it. Today we have the full team over here. We have ESA, Gary Shulman, who actually, this is his last week, he'll be retiring. So sorry for revealing that, but so he put in a lot of hard work into the environmental review for this project. We have Iran Chan, Chan from ODA, the architects, and he'll be speaking a little bit later this morning. Alex Irvine and Tim Moran, Michael Bates from Mobility, and of course our civil engineer, Alex Moore from DEA. I believe some of the project details have already been discussed. So 794 units, 751,777 square feet of floor area, 13:1. I'm not gonna belabor those points, but what I do really wanna go ahead and address at the outset, especially in light of BOE's comments, this application was deemed complete in January 2017. That is 3 years ago. And this project is subject to the Housing Accountability Act. And that imposes strict restrictions on the city in imposing conditions after a project has been deemed complete. The revised map was submitted to the city as part of the EIR. The city's had it for a few years now. And so there's been plenty of opportunity for the city to review it. But under California Government Code 65589.5, J1, the city's hands are tied in imposing conditions on a project after a project is deemed complete. And certain findings would have to be made in order to deny a project or impose conditions that would lower the density of the project. So we do take quite a bit of exception to the late comments when the city has had this revised map for over 2 years. And the only thing that we did not do, because no one asked us to pay an additional $2,000 fee until a few days ago. So we do take quite an exception. We would invoke all our rights under the Housing Accountability Act. The city is not going to be able to make findings to either deny the project or condition in such a way to lower the density. Those mergers that were in the map have been there for the last several years. They've been analyzed, they've been looked at in the EIR. So there is a little bit of disconnect here. We shouldn't be responsible if maybe someone at the city didn't review this, but this map was delivered to the city, to the Bureau of Engineering, several years ago. And so we do take quite a bit of exception to this surprise, or planning by surprise. And the Housing Accountability Act, with the housing crisis we have right now, protects projects and developers from the imposition of conditions by surprise, like this, that would result in the denial of a project as proposed. So we just wanted to make that clear. We understand about the concerns about the haul route and needing to understand the implications for the slight increase in the hauling amount. So we understand that and appreciate that. But to the extent that there are potential additional conditions that are inconsistent with the map that we have submitted, that the city has deemed complete, we will exercise our rights fully with regard to that. That said, many of the benefits of the project, Elliot addressed. And so very briefly, I'll go over some of the entitlement requests. First, seems to be quite a bit of discussion about the track map. We are requesting a subdivision of airspace and mergers. We've requested modifications which are reasonable, which reflect the map that was proposed. And so we propose to add conditions that are consistent with the map that we proposed. We also are requesting site plan review. We're also requesting a transfer floor area ratio, and we appreciate the zoning administrator's detailed description about the property or the TFAR going out to the center lines of the surrounding streets, and your floor area is based upon that. So because it's within 1,500 feet of transit, we're just a few blocks away from the PICO station, so the municipal code gives us that ability to go ahead and do it. We've also requested a master conditional use permit for the sale of alcohol within the project. And then we've also requested a site-specific zoning administrator's interpretation to allow, one, the wraparound balconies, as well as covered exterior open space, to not count as floor area. And then in the alternative, if the outdoor, the covered open space area is not granted, then we have requested that those building amenity areas qualify as recreation rooms. But the first and strong preference would be to have those areas not considered floor area. And in light of that, we would be very amenable to conditions of approval that would prohibit the enclosure of those areas to prevent it from being enclosed area, which would constitute a floor area. And what's really significant about the ZAI that we're requesting is the height and the volume and the intent of that space to operate as open space. And when you travel the world and go to cities like Mexico City or Miami, you really do see interesting designs and open space amenity areas. And so this kind of reflects that vision and also their support for it in, even though it's in draft form, the GTLA 2040 plan. With that, unless there are questions for me, I'll turn it over to the architect to go over the design. Thank you.
Thank you very much for having me. My name is Aron Chen. I'm the owner of ODA New York. We are a New York-based design firm that works nationally and internationally. And the bulk of our work is actually in complex mixed-use projects in high-density places and cities around the world. This is our first project in LA, and we're very humble and very proud to work with Preston Heights and the entire team on that. One of the main goals of the design was to express an architectural, to give an architectural expression of a building that is a residential tower, alongside of increasing residential density in downtown and more towers coming up. It's clearly that the neighborhood is transforming to a mixed-use, walkable neighborhood. And it was very important that the building and its design would express that to the city and to the building surrounding it. The other very important aspect was how the building lands, the tower lands, within its context. It was very important that it becomes a contribution to the neighborhoods, to the streetscape, and a good neighbor to our already built neighbors. Next. So essentially, the forum is extremely simple and elegant. It's a rectangle forum that we feel is going to be timeless. And what you see in those two rectangles or cubes is the upper one at the two-thirds of the height of the tower is the amenity space, which is basically the communal house for the future 1,500 tenants. And the base houses the lobbies, the retail, and these are the pieces that architecturally we wanted to elaborate on. It's quite common when we look at the skyline of existing towers in LA and in other places as well, that the body, the shaft of the tower, does not bring a human scale necessarily, or in sort of a glass extrusion, it does not necessarily have an articulation that expresses vertical village or housing a project. And we wanted to create something that becomes an iconic visual element for the city to know the transition of that neighborhood. And at the base, a contribution of a building beyond the sidewalk and the way that we activate the sidewalk is in places of community engagement and public gathering, which is very hard to find in downtown. So if you look at the base of the building, one of the first moves that we thought was in efforts to be a good neighbor to our condo building next door, which you see here on the left, was to create a language of voids or deductions, if you will, in the mass, to create open space that will be green and communal spaces and would also allow the neighboring building to have open views. And we set back to the extent that we could and set back the tower and position it away from our neighbor in order to respect their light and air and to make sure that what they're looking down into is a beautiful green space. At the corner of the two streets, we've deducted a 40 by 40 plaza. It's about 60 feet tall. And that's a private, privately owned open space that we feel would tremendously contribute to the life at the street, would allow for people together to be in the shade, to eat, to have a break, and also a building place for an opportunity for art placements of art. The rest of the bulk is wrapped with apartments with balconies that are facing the streets, and on the right you see the recessed area for the lobby, again, to create some airspace from the sidewalk and extend that experience. And lastly, on the left side, where the retail faces the street, a recess as well to allow for outdoor seating. We make sure that the areas that we call communal areas are heavily landscaped. We're using more than 10 local species of trees at the terraces, at both gardens, as you see. And the idea is that the pedestrian level, the eye would be drawn from the landscape at the street and the plaza to the elevated plaza and to the roof of the podium. So there's some sort of a continuous green space as you travel the street. And here you can see how that kind of comes to life. This is a pretty significant, I think, community, neighborhood type of gathering space. We're envisioning a food market surrounding it, so people will be able to not only to buy groceries, but to have breakfast, lunch, dinner in this area, kids to play. And we are working with artists to create an art presentation that is site-specific to this occasion. You also see that the cladding of the cantilever balconies is done in a wood-printed texture of on aluminum. That is true throughout the entire tower, and as you see as I continue, brings a very kind of human warm feeling to the entire composition. The amenity space, what I call the sort of the community house, is made out of similar huge gaps. What you see here on the left is a 60 feet tall void that would house the pool and will be surrounded by a gym and lounges and dining areas, etc. And that kind of volume, it will be seen from everywhere in the city as a communal sort of gathering space, a warm place. And I think my colleague have discussed the FAR issue Nobody has any intention to close this. The idea is to really express something different at the skyline of LA. You also see, it's hard to see with the resolution, the cladding of the wood texture everywhere we have a cantilever. So that, in perspective, would always be seen as a warm, beautiful material. The typical railing on the balconies is 3 foot six, but the railing around the amenity space would be higher. It would be glass railing of 5 feet, both for safety and for transparency. And also it helps with the wind. So overall, we're hoping that this tower brings additional density to the neighborhood, would become a center or a gathering places or sort of an iconic place for people to meet at the street level, but also will be seen from far away as an element that represents the new life of this neighborhood as a mixed-use and a residential neighborhood. Here you can see the landscaped area on the 8th floor and on the 7th floor adjacent to our condo neighbors, and how we're clearing their base in order to maximize openness for those windows. And that's it, unless you have any other questions. Thank you.
Thank you.
I'm sorry, would you mind filling out a speaker card, just so we have it for the record?
Sure.
So now we'll begin the public comment period of our meeting today. Can I please have Ron Miller come up?
Good morning. I'm Ron Miller, Executive Secretary of the LA Orange County Building and Construction Trades Council. We represent about 140,000 hardworking men and women. Hopefully a lot of them will get to work on this project. We think that the design and architect have done a great job with the open space element that's going to add to this community that's transforming now as we sit here. And it is a walkable community, and that's what we're in the business of building nowadays. Walkable communities close to transit. They want us all out of our cars. And so that's what we're building. We have over a 30-year history with this developer. We've partnered with this developer all over the country on different projects, and we've built many successful projects. So we would look forward to moving this project forward so we can get a shovel in the ground. Thank you.
Thank you. Ron?
Yep.
You do have a labor management agreement?
Yes.
Okay.
Next will be John Nilsson.
Good morning. My name is John Nilsson. I am a resident of the building directly behind this project. 1050 is the name of the project, and I'm an owner there. It's a 150-unit project, and we purchased about 5 years ago. As soon as it was available, we're very happy there. And let me just state, first of all, that I am not here in opposition to the project. I am a developer, retired developer, of very small volume, very small town. And so I've been sitting across the table on the other side many times, and I know what we have to go through to get a project developed. I'm entirely in favor of the project. I'm a little bit caught flat-footed here when I hear that all the zoning issues are moot and the cat's out of the bag. We can't discuss the zoning approval, which is a great deal more than what should be, I believe, on the site. I brought this up about 3 years ago when I was first asked by the developer. I'm sure nobody listened to me, and I'm sure nobody will listen to me now, but I want to get this out. This project is going to create some real impacts to our neighborhood, as any project would. I'm not pointing a finger at this, and I'm entirely in favor of adding property to this corner. However, the problems that are being proposed here for us as residents are strictly a result of the size of this project. This is a massive project, 70 stories. I think if you don't mind, so I can be more concise and quicker in my presentation, I'll read my letter to Lelina some time ago. I've just completed my review of the subject property draft EIR and have following comments to submit for consideration. The project as proposed is just too big. The massive structure housing 795 residential units will exceed the height of all but two, perhaps three, existing buildings in downtown Los Angeles. The building will tower above all other buildings in the surrounding six-block area and promises to more than double the population of the block on which it will sit, with resulting negative impacts on traffic congestion, air, quality of life in the neighborhood. The proposed design of 70 stories pushes the envelope on practically all aspects of design and living criteria. An example, this is a small side example because I'm the owner of two dogs. The number of pets in the unit, in this building, could exceed 500 new dogs based on the number of pets in surrounding rental and residential properties. I hope that impact is being considered and taken care of. I have never heard that it was. The proposed use of the alleyway as a major access to parking is untenable. Having lived in this building since new, I know that the proposed building plan provides for two entry-exit access points in the alleyway behind the building, as well as a loading area for move-ins and move-outs, and only one access point from Hill Street. There are currently two large apartment buildings and a 22-story condominium complex, which total approximately 650 units on the block. And all three of these currently use that alleyway. I will admit that our building was poorly designed with no access off of the street. Our only access is through that alleyway. We have five levels of parking that use it. Currently, this alleyway is impassable in many instances throughout the day. The doubling of traffic in this alleyway, which will be more than doubling of this traffic in this building, which would be the result of adding 795 units to the mix, will cause extreme problems for all residents on the block. It will make it uncomfortable, more uncomfortable to live in these units due to conflicts of exit and entrance to the buildings. There should be at least two entrance exit portals on Hill or 12th Street in this plan. I know that the city doesn't like to see entrances and exits off the main thoroughfares, but I'm sorry, we're going to be in a real traffic mess back there. I'm just bringing this up now because people are going to be screaming about it. This traffic disaster will result from the proposed 70-story design will negatively affect tenants of the new building as much as the surrounding neighbors. Everyone, neighbors and tenants of the new building, will be unhappy. And they're already unhappy in there. We have situations where we can't get in from either side. So I don't think this has been properly thought out, frankly. A more viable design alternative are alternatives 2 and 3 in the EIR. Mid-rise residential of 300 and 325 units respectively, and one level of parking. Basically, to summarize this idea, I believe personally, as a developer of successful projects in the past, that you have to really give it a thought as to what your project is going to do over the next 10 to 15 year period. And I'm asking, we have a number of high-end rental properties that are proposed and being built now. The ones that have been completed have been relatively empty for a year to 2 years. They haven't been full. The price ranges that are offered in these properties due to the cost of construction, believe me, I understand that this is going to have to be a luxury apartment. There's no other way it can be developed unless it has significant city input or a dollar input from the community. Isn't it better to have 300 to 400 units on this block that are fully occupied and not causing extreme hardship for the balance of the area? Isn't it better to have that than a 70-story project that is vacant or mostly vacant for the next 5 to 10 years? I don't see where the demand is going to come from to fill this project. You know, that's not for me to decide, it's for the developers, but I hope they're giving it a lot of consideration, because I don't see it. Thank you very much.
Thank you. Next is Clara Carger.
Good morning. I'm Clara Carger with Central City Association. We represent more than 400 businesses, nonprofits, and trade associations in downtown Los Angeles. And we're strongly supportive of projects that bring more housing units online, activate the public realm, and create jobs. We're here to voice our strong support for the 1045 Olive Project, consisting of a 70-story mixed-use high-rise development, which includes 794 units and a ground floor public plaza. We believe this project will meaningfully contribute to the vibrant downtown community for residents, visitors, and employees, and would be a welcome addition to the Central City. We encourage you to support this project. Thank you.
Thank you. Next is Wallace Locke.
Hi, Wallace Locke, South Park Business Improvement District. As part of our mission to keep South Park clean, safe, and vibrant, the BID often acts as a liaison between developers and the community at large. In preparation for this project, City Century has been proactive in engaging with our community, starting their outreach early, or presenting at public board meetings, and staying in close contact with our team. In addition to bringing much-needed housing units a very short walk from Pico Station, this project will activate a currently quiet corner with new retail, a public plaza, and add interest to our growing skyline with a bold design. SPBID supports the growth of housing and the neighbors that follow, ground floor activation, especially the possibility of a market that will sell groceries, and a diverse skyline that this project would bring. Thank you.
Thanks. So please have Steve Ridgway.
Steve Ridgway. I reside at 1050 South Grand. I'm also on the board of directors for the HOA. Would like to thank all of you for your time, thank the developers and the architects. I echo a lot of the previous speaker John's comments that resides here at 1050. I wrote down a few notes. One of the biggest aspects, obviously, is the height. 70-story building, it would be an eyesore in the South Park region. All the buildings out there, I think the largest to date that's being built right now is the Park Hyatt from the Oceanwide project. The next biggest would be the USC building. When you look at the skyline, this is going to stand out and going to be, just aesthetically, I don't think it's going to be good for downtown. Now, to the volume size, John had a very good point. The ingress and egress is in the alleyway is a current proposal. The ingress and egress for the 1050 building is also in the alleyway. The alleyway is very narrow, and just the sheer volume of, again, 794 units combined with 151 units of the 1050 building, you're going to need a stoplight to get traffic going. It's going to be gridlocked. The other aspect is the moving in, moving out, the shipping trucks, and then the noise associated with all that. So that's a major concern of mine. As John also mentioned, the alleyway for the entrance from the Olympic cross street is extremely narrow. So any of the trucks that go into that alleyway block the remaining residents to try to get to the ingress egress for the 1050 building. The only other alternative is via the 11th Street one-way. So big concern there. The other concern, obviously, is for me personally, I'm on the 20th floor, so the view that I paid seven figures plus as an investment is being taken away. The other aspect I have is we're not Miami. I mean, to all due respect to the designer, we're not Miami, we're Los Angeles. That building design, it is unique and, unique, and it doesn't really fit to the skyline. So again, I highly against the height. I like the development. Again, I'm pro-development. I like the development of that area. It's a little run down these days, and growth is good for the city. I'll take also another aspect, which is the Metropolis construction. That's been going on for quite some time. They still haven't filled up all the units. So what, adding 794 units to an already surplus inventory doesn't really seem like a good idea for the city. Also, as the city bringing in the job to the downtown region to support this. I do know Universal Music has moved to the Arts District area, but that's the Arts District area. So how do you support this large of a project? So concern there. Another aspect is I spent 11 years in downtown now. I was living at 5th and Hill, and there was a construction there for a long time. So my concern again is the noise for the construction, obviously digging the subterranean parking, and then obviously the development of the 70 stories. So of concern to me then is the noise, and you guys were talking about the hall routes and then the time frame for the hall routes. It just goes on and on and on. So again, as an investor with seven figure plus condo, with then my view of the mountains being taken away, again, these are all my personal problems. Snow-capped mountains are pretty beautiful. The development's going to take that away, which also I pay a pretty penny for at this point. And that goes back to then the skyline and the sore thumb aspect of having a 70-story building in South Park that doesn't really fit. So that's a concern of mine. The other aspect is the changing of the design. So from the first design, I believe that the podium height was going to go to seven stories. Now it's going to nine stories. I don't believe that that was ever discussed from an architectural change and how that would affect the 1050 building and the residents. So I have to report back to the homeowners of our association, and they're going to say, we were told it was seventh floor. So the people on the seventh floor and above, we're going to be able to have their and retain their view to the eastern side over the podium. Now, from my understanding, the design has gone to the ninth floors. So again, that's going to have material effects on a resale value to the 1050 homeowners. So I want to make sure that that's known to the council as well. Thank you for your time.
Thank you. Next is Nagari Nayeri.
Good morning.
My name is Nagar Nayeri. I'm a resident of 1050. We actually purchased at 1050 3 years ago, specifically in unit 710, which is on the northeast corner of our building, which is directly looking into this project. About a year and a half ago, the developers had a meeting for the 1050 residents in order to discuss the plans and how it was not going to impact our views, etc., at Prank, which is a local restaurant a block away. We were specifically told that the deck was going to be on the seventh floor, therefore it wouldn't affect the views and take the light away for the residents, and that the building was going to be on the northern part of the lot, so that again it wouldn't impact views and the light for those residents who had spent, as John and both John and Steve mentioned, quite a bit of money to purchase. Outside of the fact that our views are now going to be blocked as a result of this project, I don't want to reiterate the same things that were, I don't want to repeat what John and Steve have already said, but do want to reiterate that, again, it's 70 stories. I don't think that any of us, we signed up for living in South Park. We signed up for living in downtown. We understand that it's been zoned for high density projects, but 70 stories is a lot. That's the same size as the US Bank building and the Wilshire Grand. 794 units is a lot, especially considering that most of the projects that have been recently developed and have gone on market over the past year are 50% unfulfilled. If you go to the new projects on 9th and Pope, if you go to Circa, which just came online last year, if you go to Metropolis, these are all buildings that are half empty. So what? How does that add to the community of downtown LA and specifically South Park? Other issues that have also already been brought up, traffic. At 10:50, we only have one way in and out of our garage, which is through the alley. And we're not the only ones that use that alley. It's also used by 1000 Grand. It's also used by the other project that's on Olive and Olympic. So those things need to be considered. And I understand that the city doesn't want to give this project an entrance or exit through Olive because it's going to impact traffic on Olive. But what about the traffic that it's going to create on in the alley? With 794 units from this building, and also I'm sure people coming in and out for commercial, and then the 151 units that's at 10:50, and then the other probably 100, 200 at 1000, and the Olive and Olympic project that live in this area and go in and out of this their buildings through this alley. Other things that haven't maybe been thought out is, you talk about more units, and it's for in order to help the housing issue in LA. There are 50,000 people sleeping on the streets in LA County right now. Let's not kid ourselves. These are high-end units that are going to be at minimum, $3,000 to $4,500 a month in rent. And who can afford that? Not the people who are out on the sleeping in tents and out in the street right now. And let's not kid ourselves, this is not going to fix the housing issue in downtown or in Los Angeles County. They're not affordable, it's not affordable housing. And I think everything else that I wanted to touch on has already been spoken about by John and Steve, so I don't want to belabor the point.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Are there any other members from the public that wish to speak? So now the applicant has the opportunity to respond to the public comments that were presented.
Great, thank you. And Ryan Lederman again from Holland & Knight. And I want to thank members of the public, especially the neighbors, for coming out today and having their voices heard. And I would like to respond to a number of the comments. First, just going back to the Housing Accountability Act, I just want to read to you Government Code Section 65589.5, J1A and B. And A is findings in order to deny the project or to condition in a way that makes it infeasible, the city would have to make a specific adverse, would have to make a finding that the housing development project would have a specific adverse impact upon the public health or safety unless the project is disapproved. Specific adverse impact means significant, quantifiable, direct, and unavoidable impact based on objective, identified, written public health or safety standards, policies, or conditions as they existed on the date the application was deemed complete. and that there is no feasible method to satisfactorily mitigate or avoid the adverse impact identified pursuant to that previous paragraph. With regard to Mr. Nilsson, thank you for your comments. I remember a few years ago when you lived at the Eastern Columbia, and you also opposed the neighboring project as well. And I understand that you're not in opposition, so we really do take into account your comments. And the final EIR pages 2-16 to 2-21 directly address every single comment that was in your letter, and that's thoroughly been responded to. In specific, with regard to the dog run, or issues with dogs, part of our TFAR public benefit payment would be a contribution to the South Park bid of $200,000 for a dog run in the neighborhood. The bid actually has an identified site that needs funding, and so the funding for that would help provide a public dog park that anyone could go ahead and use. In addition, there's a dog run on the project site as well for the residents and their guests to go ahead and utilize that for their pets. And then also the project does provide a number of streetscape improvements and trees and so forth that would improve the streetscape. With regard to the loading and the alley issues, as previously identified in the final EIR, pages 2-16 to 2-21, there are no access, there's no unlawful queuing, there's no significant amount of queuing that would be caused by the project. Point of clarification, some of the residents were concerned, mentioned that there's no olive access, and I know that wasn't Mr. Nilsson's comment, but there is through access. So there is an entrance on olive as well to dissipate and distribute some of the traffic. And then we've situated our driveways in the loading area somewhat opposite the 1050 area as well to provide a larger area for trucks and so forth when backing up and having that access.
Did you say offset?
It's directly across. So there are two.
So it's lined up.
Yeah. Right. So I don't think they're so the one all the way to the north is not adjacent to 1050. It's farther to the north. Okay. But the southerly one where the loading is set across from the 1050 driveway. Yeah. So
people could exit from the alleyway through your property to Olive Street.
Correct.
That would be public access.
Correct. So we have maintained a porker share, sort of a pass through off Olive to help shoulder some of that load from the building, and you can enter the parking garage from Olive Street. So you're not required. We've kept both options, and we've offset the entrances so that we're not going to be having conditions.
Right.
There you go, to be clear.
That's what I
asked. So that the cars are coming and loading will be simultaneous where we're backing into each other's driveways or truck having any concerns. I want to just point out that as we have engaged the neighbors in the past, as one of them, one of the residents mentioned, our plan is to continue to do so. But I want to just, we will follow up with this with further meetings with the homeowner association and with the individuals here, undoubtedly. But I want to just point out, A, this condition, that we are not solely using the alley. We were aware and we heard loud and clear, really from day one, this has been on our plans. And similarly, there has been never a change to our podium heights. So I want to clarify that with them and I'll follow up with them. But the plans that they have seen and have always been submitted have been exactly the same. So there was never a change in our podium heights. So I'll work to clarify that with the neighbors as well, where the miscommunication was.
Well, it looks like you have 7 stories on one side on their side, and then it goes up to 9 on the Olive Street side?
Correct.
Yeah. Right. And,
but
and
that was always the, that was been, always been the design.
Yeah, that hasn't changed.
Yeah,
that hasn't changed.
I realize that. I just said you have to watch what you say, because it sounds like 7 stories all the way across to them.
Well, and so for, and that area along 11th Street does provide that kind of area as well.
That's all right.
And then also, a point of clarification, there are certain portions of that alley that are substandard, and so we would widen the alley to make it the standard city width as well of 20 feet. So it's an existing condition in certain portions of the alley where it isn't that wide. So the project would widen it to city standards, at least for the portion abutting the project site. With regard to the concerns about view blockage, CEQA, well, first off, as a transit area project, aesthetic impacts are exempt from analysis.
Ryan, we all know that.
Okay.
Well, view impacts are.
Okay.
Sorry.
Well, and CEQA, even if it wasn't exempt, CEQA
not
never
CEQA,
protected.
It's just general law.
But it never protected private views. But
I realize that.
If we can go to the image of the skyline, I think that would be really helpful. This picture was taken actually a few years ago, and since this time, Avon has opened. It's a 37-story tower that's just a little bit to the left. MacUrban has two projects. I think one's 51 stories, that's in entitlements right now, right at the corner of 11th and Olive. And then just across the street on 11th and Olive is a 60-story building. I know I'm working on a project that's 52 stories, right at 11th and Hill. Some of the new projects that I believe that's Circa over there, but Fig Central might not be depicted over there. So this is not a current representation of what's here. This neighborhood already has the high-rise towers. And as a point of clarification, when the 1050 project was entitled, you only had Evo Luma 11 over there. And that project, it was prior to the Greater Downtown Housing Incentive Area Ordinance, and it needed a number of entitlements, a number of variances. So I just wanted to point that out, whereas we're a code-compliant project. We are not seeking any variances for the project for the height. So I just wanted to point that out. Elliot addressed the design that it hasn't changed, at least with respect to the podium height. That's always been consistent. I'd also want to emphasize there was concern about housing and how much they're going to cost. I don't have a pro forma as to what the rents are going to be, but this project does propose a variety of units, including studio units, one bedrooms, two bedrooms. So they're not all going to be astronomically priced. To the comment that there are jobs in the arts district, this is exactly the sort of project that the city wants to address, that how jobs, housing imbalance. The arts district is a mile away, a mile and a half away, and we've demonstrated with our BMT analysis that we do not have a significant traffic impact because there is a dire need for housing in this area. And then just to address the affordability, as part of the project, the project is providing over $11 million in a public benefit payment. In addition, it's an over $2 million transfer payment that gets paid into the city's public benefit payment fund. And we specifically requested millions of dollars to go into the city's affordable housing trust fund, as well as the CD14 public benefits fund that's earmarked for affordable housing as well. So we are addressing affordable housing through our public benefit payment as well. I don't know, Mike, do you want to address any of the
quickie question before you
leave? Sure.
You made a point of your public plaza at your corner of 11th and Olive?
Yes.
That it's a private plaza, it's privately owned but open to the public?
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. Not that different from the Wilshire Grand as well. That's a larger.
I just want to tell you that's going to be stated because that's always a consideration of the Planning Commission.
Thank you. Mike, why don't you address some of the access?
Good morning. Mike Bates, the Mobility Group. We're transportation consultant for the project. Just wanted to address some of the comments on the alley. Obviously, we understand the concerns. We did analyze the alley fully in the traffic study and in the EIR. I will just reiterate that there is a driveway on Olive, which is the main street adjacent to the project. and would be the front door to the project. So the alley access is there, but it's also in a way a secondary access. And as the previous speakers have said, it connects directly through from the alley to Olive. The two projects also on this block to the north, at the corner of Olive and Olympic and Olympic and Grand, also both access the alley and the adjacent street. One goes to Olive and one goes to Grand. So they have the option also, just like this project has, of either using the alley or using the access to the primary street that goes by the project. We're consistent with city policy for residential projects wanting to access the alley. We did analyze the alley in full. We went out there, we observed, we took traffic counts. We did analysis according to LEDOT methodology. LEDOT approved the analysis. We found that while it would add a small amount of queuing to the alley, it would not be a significant increase in queuing because of the different access points that exist on the alley. And that was all addressed in the EIR, including responses to the public comments on the EIR. And I think that's just the points I wanted to make to clarify.
Anyone else? Did CD 14 want to say anything?
We're here to monitor. Thank you.
Okay.
So we will now close the public hearing portion. And we will now open it up for deliberation by the advisory agency for...
I'd like to ask the council to approach the desk again, please. Let's continue discussion about the your revised map. And if this revised map stamp dated November 20, 2017 is approved without engineering input, you will not be able to record a final map. It has nothing to do with the government code of housing anymore because your title that shows different measurements of your property than you're showing your revised map. Then you have to file a revised map. Then zoning will not be able to clear for a number of units based on your FAR. Engineering will not be able to record your final map because you're not showing your correct property line and the distances. So basically what I was trying to tell you, to file a revised map to correct the deficiencies is in your favor. If you want to go ahead and ask the advisory just to overrule engineering to get it done today and you get paid, fine. But whoever takes over the project is going to have a hell of a problem with this revised map to have a recorded final map. You're going to be hitting after decision letter, then you have to file a modification after modification after modification. And it's going to cost applicant delay and after delay until right now. We are here to clear up all the deficiencies, number one. Number two, I don't agree with you when you say if the project was deemed complete. Deemed complete, fine. Deemed complete and deemed approved are two different words. You're here to get approval and you're requesting the changes. Actually, you're imposing conditions on yourself. We didn't impose anything on you. And you're telling we're imposing new conditions. No, you can still get number of housing you want per your housing code, but you have to fit it in what you have. That will be your issue. But if you want to fit it into what you're showing, as a matter of fact, I'd like to bring up this to your attention. In your letter that you submitted to planning, I'm reading it for record, Holland and Knight, January 14, 2020, in page 3, request additional Bureau of Engineering condition for the Olive to have a merger above and below. You are agreeing that your center line is 45 foot, but your map is showing 40. You're showing here 45. You're saying you want to keep the 45-foot center line, but you're going above, below. But your map doesn't show that much. Your map shows 40. That's 5 feet. There's a lot of discrepancy as far as the FAR and number of units you're allowed to do. And so you need to correct that. And at the revised map, you're showing total of 4 feet of merger on the sidewalk areas, but as in your letter, you're asking only 2 foot above the 2 foot dedication and inside the 3 foot easement per standard, city standards, to have a merger. So your letter, basically your request here, is totally different what your revised map is showing. So you have an option to take the old map or put this under advisement, revise your map to, according to your letter, your request, because your request is totally different than what map is showing right now.
Good morning. This is Alex Moore with David Evans. Our address is 201 South Figueroa, Suite 240. And we prepared the revised tentative tract map. And just to your point on the Olive Street center line, that we're showing 45 feet from center line to the property line, on the map we're showing that it's 40 feet and then a 5-foot easement for
street. There's no easement, it's all dedication.
Right, but on the map it's showing as a 5-foot easement for street purposes.
It's not easement, it's all dedication, because that was done under highway dedication. The only time they call that, it's a kind of a strange fruit, because they still shows the dash line in our maps, but your property line is back. I have a copy of it, I brought it with me.
The dedication, the grant deed, calls it an easement.
Yes, because it's not a regular type of easement. You can argue with me, but I'm telling you, if you go to file a map, they're not going to agree to that, because our maps show your property line is on 45 feet. This is our local map. And when you bring your title, I've been also on highway dedication. The reason they call it easement, because legal description hasn't changed yet, number one. Number two, it's not a regular easement that you're still have the underlying right and you're paying taxes over it. You're not, because assessment takes off of your property. That's a different type of an easement. That's what they call it, easement. And you're not liable for that. On a regular configuration of, let's give us additional public sidewalk easement, that actually part of your property, you pay taxes over it, and it's in your part of your net area. Not this one. This is a special easement that created in the 60s when they overhauled the entire LAMC, and they didn't want people, after giving the land to the public, to be liable or pay taxes. That's why. You can come and look at your property line. I have a map here. You can have a problem in your final. I'm just trying to tell you, going to have a problem. I want to ask you, go solve your problem so we can have everything clean at this point. Before we have all these additional comments, clear this, condition this, correct this, clarify this. It's been extra work and for you. So, and for you not to come back here, not to have another public hearing, you agree to the terms that we're going to agree right now on the revised map that you're going to submit as soon as you can to correct these deficiencies, because it'll be the same. You're going to have 45 foot to the center line, and you're going to have a merger above or below, according to your request. So the center line, it's not an issue for you, because you're saying you're agreeing to say it's 45 feet from the center line.
Our request is to merge that 5 feet back to provide 45 feet from center line at the ground level up to 40 feet. That's why the map is showing 45 feet on the other sheets, is because that's what our proposal is.
Yeah, so here's the issue. Your current property line is in the correct spot. It's 45 feet from the center line. And under the LA Mobility Plan, Olive is considered modified Avenue 1. It means you need to have 45 feet from center line to the property line. So you have that. If you move it, then it'll be substandard. However, you can merge above or below it as long as you keep the property line 45 feet from the center line.
And that's basically, that's the intent.
So, yes, but you're not showing it correctly here.
Okay, so maybe we can have a subsequent meeting, because clearly the review hasn't happened, that BOE, you know, even though we submitted the plans over 2 years ago. So somehow something slipped through the cracks over here. We've done our job. Planning's been processing this. There's been no surprise.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened. I don't process the stuff that happens at the city. I don't know why it wasn't why.
You know, the thing is, my intention is, I don't want to play the blame game, who was to blame, who should know, not should know. That's not going to serve any purpose, not going to benefit anyone. We can throw laws at each other all day today, but you're not going to solve your issue. Your issue is, you want to show the correct property line, and you want to show your correct request on your revised map, that what you're asking, which is different from what your revised map is here.
It sounds like what you're saying is incorrect, is the five, we're showing it as a 5-foot easement and not 45 feet from the center line to the property line. That's the existing condition, but
that's
is there anywhere else that you're saying is incorrect, or is it just...
Yes, that one is incorrect, and also you're requesting a limited dedication for the corner cut. You're not showing it on the revised map.
That's correct.
Right? And you're asking for 4 feet of merger into the sidewalk, but you're asking actually 2 feet over here, on 2-foot dedication area only, to go up 40 feet. And then inside 3-foot easement that comes from downtown street standards, you're asking that to be limited. You're not even mentioning these 4 feet you're asking on a revised map here. So you, under the state map act law, the revised, the approved, the final map should be in consistent with the approved tentative map, or you cannot record the map. That's gonna be your problem. We're trying to solve your problem. I'm not trying to be an obstacle. I'm trying to say, if you want clear sailing from this point on, correct these deficiencies. Now, the only thing we may not agree with you is 5 foot below. It's gonna be 10 foot and below.
And we could live with the 10 feet and below.
Okay, so if you can give us another revised map, you already have paid the fee. In another week or so, showing the correct center line. And revised map should be exactly what you're requesting here, except the 5 foot below, it should be 10 foot below. Mm-hmm. Then I would say, unless there's a problem, 99% guarantee that that's how it's gonna go to them for a decision letter. Because 40 foot and above, it's fine with us, and you're asking only 4 feet encroachment into the sidewalk area, correct? Mm-hmm. And sidewalk area right now is what, about 15 feet?
Yes.
So our policies, you can go overhang about 30% of sidewalk area, which is 5 feet, so you have 4 feet, you're within the policy. And our policies, the 40 feet and above, it's fine. 10 feet below, it's fine. Cut corner, I have no problem being one way, and for the at the 40 feet and above, no problem. But you need to show those correctly on the revised map. When they say this map is approved according to the revised map, stamp dated, blah, 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 you're done. Your FAR is correct, because your FAR still will be based on 45 foot center line, however, your additional merger below and above, so you will have it. So I don't know why you're trying to bring up all this other stuff. I don't care whose fault it is, who did what. Why I'm saying you want to fix it, this is the time to fix it.
Anything else for us?
Yes.
Jay wants more slides.
So you have any reply? Do you need to respond to this? Or are you going to prepare a revised map, or what's your response?
We need to discuss. I can't speak for the decision makers here today, but I imagine this case would be taken under advisement, and so we're going to have to listen to your valuable input, and we're also going to have to look at what the law says and look at the grant deed that calls it a street easement, and we're going to have to figure out how to respond. And our intent is we're almost there. I mean, we're basically
fine.
There.
So you're just leaving the decision to us, to the committee. Then I will recommend a decision for you that to be under advisement, an applicant file a revised map showing the latest changes according to their request letter here, and a discussion about some of the details before you render your decision letter. That would be my recommendation of engineering to you. And then if they file a revised map in time before the commission, we will do our best to have it ready for you to issue a decision letter before the commission, so the whole case goes over there.
Yeah, this South Park area is subject to downtown design guidelines and requirements, one of which is the pedestrian light. So our street lighting conditions have been incorporated in the staff report. So basically, we're asking for pedestrian light on Olive and 11th.
Okay.
Thank you.
My turn.
You guys always make it so fun. Okay, first of all, I will certify the environmental impact report.
Talk about the, there was a request to increase the amount of excavation on site, so just recommend that we have time to prepare an errata to address that. If
there needs to be an errata, because that's different from your increasing the amount, you want to make sure that it does not create any additional impacts.
Was there also a request on the haul route trucks and hours?
Yeah, there was some requested changes from the applicant regarding the haul route. So DOT recommends that the haul route hours be maintained from 9 to 3:30. The applicant requested that it be extended till 7 to allow for haul trucks from 7 a.m. And there was some other requests for defining the number of days of hauling and making some changes to the haul truck type, and those are okay. the only thing that DOT disagreed on was the hours.
And I, unfortunately for you, agree with the Department of Transportation, having once had the joy of driving down North Broadway Street in Chinatown while they were doing excavation with haul trucks being driven through rush hour traffic. It was insane, and this is even a more congested area than North Broadway in that particular area, so I will go with the Department of Transportation hours for the haul route. We should not be having haul trucks being driven through downtown Los Angeles in the middle of rush hour. I know we all want to get rid of cars, and that's the policy of the Department of Transportation and the City Planning Department, but reality is people drive.
Anything else on that?
No, that's it.
Okay. Again, certify the environmental impact report with the addendum, I mean, not the addendum, but the errata to take care of the haul route numbers. I'm going to make a decision on the zoning administrator's interpretation first, because that's important to the rest of the subdivision in order to make that legal under the city community plan and the city charter, which limits development in the city of Los Angeles to a 13-to-1 floor area ratio, which I believe this project at the moment comes in a little bit over 13-to-1. And that was one of the requests for this zoning administrator's interpretation. The interpretation was requested of me a few years ago when I was the chief zoning administrator. I just basically didn't have the time to write it up, so now it's gone back to what it was originally, which was for this particular project. I'm going to recommend approval. Well, let's not recommend approval. I'm going to approve the zoning administrator's interpretation for this particular structure. It revolves around open space, and the Department of Building and Safety's interpretation of what an enclosed building is. We have a zoning administrator's interpretation already on what are called, I don't know what it is, but it's on the balconies that go around the surface. For some reason, that interpretation, though it allowed buildings, balconies to go around the surface of the building, only showed on its diagrams those at the corners of the building. I believe that should have shown the balconies all the way around it. These are especially because these balconies are being used for private open space, which is allowed under the open space conditions of the code. We will have a language in the TFAR conditions of approval which do not permit any construction on those balconies, which would enclose those, because that does become FAR at that time. And that would be in violation, not of the downtown plan, but of the city charter. And there is no such thing as a variance from the city charter. As far as the cutouts on the side of the building, these are being used for open space, for general open space for the entire building, not for private open space. When the open space ordinance was promulgated in the 1980s, it was done because apartment buildings, usually smaller apartments out in the middle of the San Fernando Valley, did not propose open space for children to play in, for a father and a son to play catch, or a father and a son and a mother to play catch. In downtown, it's a different situation. You usually don't have large families living downtown. There are high-rise buildings with that's fully occupied the lots, so that there is no open land on them to have it. And necessarily, you either have open space on your roof of your building, which is proposed to be 70 stories high, or on your podium decks. Even then, they did not have enough open space for the proposed number of units. And I might add, the number of units, though it seems to be excessive for the size of the building, number of units in the downtown Los Angeles area are not deemed by the R5 zoning, but by the FAR of the structure. And it's basically, you can fit as many units as you can, as long as you have the average unit size that's in the code. So unfortunately, so it may be difficult to fill up all those units. They are legal, and they are legal under the code, so that is their right to do that if they so desire. I will, however, put in a condition of approval because of problems that we have with what are called transit-oriented occupancy units, that these may not be turned into a TORs, because these were done to be residential units. These are not to be rented out as hotel-like units, as it TORs. It's happened on a number of projects downtown, and I have put conditions on other projects in Hollywood and the like that these may not be used as a TORs. They have to be rented and or sold as individual residential units. That being said, the open space, I got distracted there, the open space, I will allow the open space areas as shown to be not counted against the floor area ratio for those buildings because, again, open space in the downtown Los Angeles is very difficult in the buildings, and this is the one of the few ways that we can get open space into these buildings. Also, architecturally, it makes the building more interesting. Our planning commission, especially a couple of the members, are very much against flat top buildings. However, in this particular case, the only way you can get your open space for your units is to have the top of the building flat so that you can use it for open space and also open space on the sides. This gives some architectural interest to the building that you do put that a architectural treatments on the roof of the building, which you can't do. Now you're doing them on the side of the building, and that creates interest and is in accordance with the downtown guidelines for high-rise buildings. I will put in more language. I'm a better writer than I am a speaker. This does not count against FAR, and it will count as open space, even though it is not open to the sky. Again, same problem. When open space was promulgated in the 1980s, it was basically people could park on surface parking in the rear yards of apartment buildings, and the idea was to put these structures underground so that those rear yards could be used as open space and as a real yard for the apartment buildings. Last point, not knowing what the FAR of the building is, and the fact that it could change, especially after the problems Mr. Avanasian has perhaps pointed, that's all right. And I don't quite agree with you on the Housing Accountability Act because this is a Subdivision Map Act problem, not something of the City of Los Angeles. In any case, the building has to be at 813 to 1 FAR, period, nothing above. So I have a condition that you two are used to, that the building shall be built at a 13 to 1 FAR. If anything must come off of the building in order to meet that 13 to 1 FAR, it's going to have to come off the top of the building. It may not come off of the building of the units that wrap the parking. So that is FAR, and those units may not be reduced in order to make up any problems that you have with your floor area ratio, which basically will be determined by the Department of Building and Safety at times you come in to construct. So we don't know what that's going to be at the moment. So anything that comes off comes from the top.
If I could just clarify, Ray Lederman again, because the center line goes out to the street, normally this would be an issue. But because floor area is determined by the center line of the surrounding streets, whether the 5 feet is part of the property lines or not, that's not going to change the 13 to 1 issue. And I just wanted to clarify.
That's all right. You're at the limit, guys. I know you. With that,
we also have the map, and I believe Melena asked me to hold it under advisement.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we're going to hold the map under advisement. I would advise you to get the information into Mr. Avanasian as soon as you can, because I don't think you want to delay this case beyond the 15th. I think you've been in the process for about 4 years now. So the best thing for you is get that map in as soon as you can. The revised map. So we will hold it under advisement. If Georgia does not have the information that he needs, then we're going to have to, since you want the 15th to be your date, we'll have to approve the map. It has to be done in such a manner that we have an appeal period so both cases go together to the Planning Commission at once. I will also put on the zoning administrator's interpretation. This would normally go to the Area Planning Commission. I'm going to put language in there stating that it goes to the City Planning Commission so that everything arrives there at once if there is an appeal on this case. I can't guarantee it, but one never knows. So we're going to hold the under advisement. However, if Mr. Avanesian is not satisfied, then we will approve the map as submitted 4 years ago, and then you'll have to go through the modification process, and that too is appealable. So I would advise you to get everything done quickly. And that concludes the hearing. Thank you all for your attendance today, for your testimony. I do listen to the testimony, and even if I don't come to something that you agree with, at least you will know why we in the department did not go along with it. We do listen to what you have to say. Thank you very much.
Thank you.